Hi, today is November 24th, 2017. This is Mold Views Podcast number 232. I'm Tada Gasawara, and John Westfall is on a super secret assignment somewhere. I think it has something to do with eating turkey. So today I have an all-Hawaii panel once again. Let's see, I guess we'll do this in alphabetical order by last name. First, both, and it's a close one because they both start with L, which makes it difficult. So now I got to think, right? Second letter sort. First up is returning panelist Paul Lawler. Hey, Paul.
Greetings.
And next up in the LI category is Ricky Lee.
Hello.
And thanks for joining me on short notice, guys. You know, I was actually going to skip this week with John Westfall gone. I thought, we'll do another all-Hawaii panel if people are available. We may have one more friend join us, but we'll see. It's actually a work day. I took the day off. And Paul's kind of in between stuff, kind of on a slow day. Teaching. No students today, right, Paul?
Correct.
And Ricky's kind of taking a mini break in the afternoon here. Anyway, it's a beautiful day in Hawaii, folks. Why are we inside?
Because nature hates us.
Yeah, I guess so.
The sun is hot.
Actually, it's like 74 degrees. It is beautiful out there.
But it's very windy.
It's very windy. Yeah, I just came back from Maui, and I was staying on the slopes of Haleakala.
Oh.
It was 50 degrees not last night, but the night before. Yeah, and that was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, 50 is very nice, yeah. Sleeping weather. Get a lot of nice photos up there? That we'll see?
Somewhat. With my drones, yes. Oh. With my regular camera, no.
Oh, well, interesting. Yeah. Well, your drone shots have been fun to look at. You know, even though I'm anti-drone, I do enjoy your drone photography. any rate, so I guess I'm not consistent in that way. Anyhow, first thing I wanted to note is something. I finally put some content in the dailydoodlers.com. I almost said blog. It's not really a blog because mostly it's going to be pictures. So, plog, picture log, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, dailydoodlers, plural, .com because I couldn't get Doodle a Day or Daily Doodle or any of those other ones I wanted. Those are all taken. Dailydoodlers.com. If you want to put your doodle up there, let me know. for folks who don't know, you know, I've mentioned it several times on this podcast, but last year, in 2016, I bought an Apple Pencil. It sat literally where it stood in a little cup doing nothing for months and months and months. Every now and then I had to remember to recharge it so I wouldn't drain the battery down too far. And finally, on January 1st, I said, I'm going to do something with it. So I decided to learn to draw. And so every day I spend 15 minutes, sometimes a little more, but 15 minutes a night usually. Doing a quick doodle, which I usually share with my friends on Facebook, and I'll start sharing some of the ones that aren't awful on the public side and dailydoodlers.com in the hopes that other people will share their doodles too, because I'm really enjoying some of the doodles I see like on Twitter and stuff. Any rate, first thing I wanted to mention is I turned on the new Google Calendar look on the web, and it looks nice, but I think some things are broken. Like, I don't think military time works anymore. So I tried putting in
pacifist only.
Yeah, I tried putting in 1500, or I guess you could call it 24-hour clock. But you know, I tried putting in 1500-1600 for today's podcast with you guys, and it didn't take it. It just created an all-day event. I had to go in and edit it. And anyway, it looks nice. You know, I think it's one of those things that looks nice, but it's less functional.
I just turned it on. Yeah, it's very Fisher pricey.
Yeah, it's bright.
Bright and big.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe you've got to get feedback to Google somehow. But they don't like talking to people, and who knows. Next thing about who knows and Google is I got my Google Home Mini. Did you guys get a Google Home or Google Home Mini?
I did. I love mine.
Okay, we've got to talk. I've got issues either. What about you, Paul?
No, I'm still in the Alexa camp.
Okay, and don't forget, we can't use the trigger words.
Oh, right. I don't have it in my office, so I'm good.
You just turned on fives of, you know, Amazon Echoes.
I just discovered that remember that meme where they were looping all the virtual. They broke the loop. It doesn't work anymore.
I tried that too.
Yeah.
I tried to have my Amazon Echo and my Google Home talk to each other, and they just said, nope. No, we're not going to play that game.
I like Google Home's answer.
Yes.
Her answer, at least for me, was, I'd like to talk to Alexa, but she doesn't want to talk to me.
Oh, mine didn't say that. Mine said something else.
By the way, Todd, if you go to settings in the Google Calendar, the third item down is time format, and you can choose a 24-hour calendar.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Ooh. But I'm kind of sad that it's now an option. It should just know. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see time format. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul. Okay. That's a good fix. Anyway, so I got my Google Home Mini after everybody else, apparently.
Mm.
It was a free one. I think same one you'd got, right, Ricky? Free with your Pixel 2?
Yep.
Or because of your Pixel 2?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not... It's okay. But first big problem. It cannot play the Mobile Views podcast, even though I even though I distribute it through both iTunes and, you know, Google All Access, whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
So... I'm not getting that at all.
I found that the audio quality on it just is not there. It's not meant to be any type of audio playback speaker. It's just terrible.
Well, you know, it's certainly not a hi-fi device. It's not stereo, obviously, since it's one speaker. But I think as tiny speakers go, it's okay. It sounds better than the Echo Dot.
You know, okay.
It's not as good as the full Echo, but it's, you know, I think, and it's a little muffled. Maybe it's because of that cloth
on top of it. But I've also noticed there's some weird little things like what you've noticed. Like, I can tell it to play my YouTube on my TV, which is great, but I can't play my subscriptions on the TV. It'll play every video labeled subscription, but not my actual subscriptions.
Huh. Weird. So, like, if you have a TV series that you buy, that kind of thing?
No. Like, you know how you have your YouTube subscriptions and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just something simple
channels
like that.
Channels
like
that you subscribe to. Yeah, got it.
Yeah, it won't play that. It'll just play videos labeled subscriptions.
Well, the thing I found that's kind of stupid is that, even though it's a Bluetooth device, presumably, you can't just pair it. And so you have to cast to it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And if I cast Google Music from an Android phone, I couldn't pause or even stop the music from the Mini. I couldn't say stop, pause. It just kept playing. Mm-hmm. And you can say, well, that's because it's casting. But on the other hand, with the Amazon Echo, if I am playing a podcast, let's say, not even Apple's podcast player, which is the one I use? I use Armont's Overcast. If I'm playing a podcast through my Amazon Echo from my iPhone and I say pause, it'll pause it. Now, if I say, you know, continue, it'll start playing the podcast.
Mm.
Yeah. And it,
interesting.
And, yeah. Also, it's kind of, you need to have like really wordy commands to get it to play music. You know, from like, I pay for Google Music.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm on a family plan. So, you know, you would think you would at least treat me nicely, but I don't know.
But on the flip side with those wordy commands, I like the fact that I can do chain commands with the Google Home, like set an alarm for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
It can do that. None of the other voice assistants will make an alarm set like that.
Yeah. On the other hand, you know, although, and not the alarms, but it will add to your calendar. But it apparently can't read from my calendar. So
yeah, I noticed that was weird.
I don't know what's up with that. Whereas the Amazon Echo can read my Google Calendar.
I do not trust Amazon enough to let it touch my calendar.
No, it's just read. Well, is it read only? I think it's read only. But it's handy, so I know what's coming up next. I don't know. Paul, are you tempted to get a Google Home or Google Home Mini or one of those things? It's on sale today.
It's on sale today, yeah. Oh, he's muted.
We must have lost Paul.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, am I back?
Yeah.
Yep, you're back.
Sorry, cough button.
Oh, okay.
I was tempted to get a Google Home just so that I could say definitively that I like one better than the other.
Yeah.
But I haven't pulled the trigger on it yet.
Okay, well, if you're going to get a Mini, it's today.
Yeah. $30
and you get a $10 credit. Is that right, Ricky?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
So far, you're not selling me on the Mini, Todd.
Well, you buy everything. I'm sure. I'm just shocked you don't have one.
Well, I'm in the middle of writing a Siri versus Google Home versus Alexa. I just triggered everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. All at once.
Comparison blog, but that'll be a little while.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing I noticed is weather. So I think Echo does a better job with weather. So if you ask for weather, today, for example, there's a high surf warning in our area. It's the south coast of Oahu. And the Amazon Echo's weather information provides that info, whereas the Google Home doesn't. So, and, you know, that's pretty important for folks going out to the beach today in this kind of wind. And, you know, it's good to be forearmed is forewarned kind of thing.
Okay, maybe. Google Home gives me temperatures in Celsius, which I as a metric person, I like better.
That's an option, though, right? Because I'm getting it in Fahrenheit, I think.
Yeah, it's an option. It's an option that follows from the phone, which is what I...
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think because I'm so integrated in the Google atmosphere that I prefer Home just because it's an extension of what I'm used to on the phone.
I will say one thing, though, you know, I only have one child, so I only ever had one child to, you know, say, stop this or do this or whatever. But now with both an Echo and a Google Home Mini, I'm sometimes confused as to which one to say stop to. And I'm not you, the other one.
For the first few days, I had alarms, my daily morning alarm, alternating on the two devices. I didn't know which device was telling me to wake up. And if you think you're smart and say and modify the command to stop and say something like, "Hey Google Home Alexa, stop," no, that doesn't work. It confuses everybody. But there is one feature that I really like about Google Home.
Okay.
Or the Google Assistant, it trains to your voice. So yeah. I don't have Leo Laporte activating my Alexa when I'm watching his podcast or something.
Yeah, in fact, I saw a review where a guy was doing a review and he and his wife both trained their voices and they could even do things like, you know, they could each say call mom and it would call the appropriate mother. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Hmm.
Yeah, and you know you can use it as a telephone, right?
I haven't tried that. Okay.
Yeah.
As you can an Amazon Echo.
Yeah. So I haven't, you know, I still haven't tried it with the Echo. I think I have to set it up or something, whereas the Google Home just does it.
I noticed in the latest version of the Echo software, I have three Echoes. So I can make it, so if I play music, it'll play music from all of them at the same time.
Oh.
And if I say Alexa and more than one of them hears me, the one that's closest to me is the one that responds.
Yeah. Alexa, stop. I'm just stopping all the ones you turned on.
Oops, sorry. Sorry, everybody.
I don't know if you probably heard my Echo go boop. but any case, I shouldn't have laughed at Paul because I just realized I bought three of them too. But they're for three different people.
Technically, I have two. I have the Amazon Tap, and then I have the old, you know, the original Echo.
Yeah. Mm. One of my friends is really, really a big fan of the Amazon Tap. I never quite saw the use case for it, but, you know, I can understand how some people might like the portableness of it. That's under the battery, right?
Yeah. It's really loud, but, other than that, it's an Echo on a Bluetooth speaker.
I should note, by the way, you know, the first time I ever saw an Amazon Echo in operation, Paul Lawler brought it to a little coffee meeting that a couple of friends and, you know, I think three of us had, me and Paul and Sterling. And Paul brought, of course, a big battery so he could turn on, you know, with a voltage regulator so he could turn on his AC powered Echo on a coffee table outside of Starbucks or something. That was pretty amusing.
Okay, technically I have to admit I have four because I have a Dash.
Wait, does Dash take voice input?
Yes.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
The difference is that it doesn't, it's not always listening. You have to push the button.
Ah, okay. Okay. Well, next up, I'm kind of looking, so that was my, I think that's my entire list of things. My, basically, I just wanted to complain about Google Home Mini. but you know what? I think that it's, I'm really glad I have one so I can play with it. And I suspect that Dina does some things that, you know, like Ricky said about the chaining the commands and stuff. That I think might be interesting. So I'm going to play with it some more. It's sitting about 8 feet from my Echo so they don't fight. The Echo is such a nice device. And, of course, it has, you know, it's matured, right? And it's got all the skills and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That is definitely one thing the Home doesn't have yet, skills.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, so I've got Paul's list next and then Ricky's list. So I was just before the podcast, I mentioned that I don't know there's a lot we can say about it because not much we can do about it. But, you know, the whole FCC net neutrality vote is coming up. We already know what the vote's going to be. It's going to be 3-2. They're going to vote right down the party line. And if you are, if you would like an internet that allows fair reach from, you know, even little servers like mine, my new dailydoodlers.com, and I can't afford to pay you know, ISPs extra money just to make mine as fast as everybody else or not slow me down, you might want to call your congressperson or senator. And a couple of things, I do use the word call as in calling a phone, because I think that's the most effective way. I think these forms are useless that you see, even though they're well-intentioned. And make sure you're an actual registered voter. I don't think it's very convincing if you have never voted and you're calling your congressperson or senator.
As someone who's worked at the legislature, the registered voter part, they're not going to look you up when they're reading the hundreds of letters that come in.
At least you can say, I voted for you or whatever.
But they're not going to confirm it, so so you could just write it anyway. But but yeah, calling definitely has a higher priority than written letters, and way higher than petitions and form letters. Mm. Yeah, because with petitions and form letters, most of the time you just count the number of people who wrote in versus actually reading or listening to the messages.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, yep, call.
As we learned from the FCC, soliciting public comment means nothing because they just take it all and file it in the round file.
Right, the round digital, yep. So, anyway, that's about all I have to say. As I often said on this podcast, we don't get too political. I guess that's fairly political for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do have a dog in this hunt, as they say. You know, I mean, little blogs like mine are going to disappear because we won't be reachable. It's already happened in, I think, Portugal, where there is no net neutrality, and there are actually bundles of where you can reach, depending on how much you pay. And I'd hate to see that here.
Yeah, well, it affects your people like me, your humble social media presence person, PR person, because, you know, if our services... If one day someone decides that Instagram it has to be slow because it's using too much traffic, then our business kind of dries up because we can't use the one where everybody's on, right? Or it makes it difficult.
And here's one that could possibly affect everybody. I don't think this would happen, but for example, Verizon now owns Yahoo, right? It's got a different name, Oath or something, but they own Yahoo. What if they decide they want everybody to use Yahoo and you can't use Google anymore? It could happen. I mean, it's their network. So, food for thought.
That's why you get really good at saying Yahoo.
Or Oath. Oh.
Oh.
Oath. Yeah. Okay, more sad news. Paul, something about your Pebble?
Well, yeah. So, my Pebble, which was bought out by Fitbit and then killed, is now having weekly challenges where I have to, you know, restart it and pray that it's going to reconnect to the Pebble servers as long as they're still up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm be forced now to reevaluate what I would like to do. I know, Todd, you went the Apple Watch route.
Yep.
Are you happy?
Yes. I'm very, especially since my Moto 360. You have a Moto 360, but
I had one.
Oh, you had one.
Until the battery swelled up and broke the case.
Oh, I forgot to mention that to me. My Moto 360 is still functional, but its battery dies about 3 p.m. sometimes. So as a reminder or other, you know, notifier, it wasn't really good after lunch sometimes. So I'm very happy that my Apple Watch does that very well. And it's a really nice watch. I got a, instead of paying $150 for the, what's that fancy watch? I forget what the name of it is, but it's Hermes. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I got a $10 version of it for Amazon, and it's awesome. Oh, yeah, and its magnet is so strong I can pick up like pens and paper clips and tacks and all kinds of stuff without using my fingers. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, really happy with it. I got the 42-inch one because I don't know, I'm fat. I don't know. My eyes are getting old; it's harder to see.
I'd agree. I started with the 38. Millimeter mm-hmm. Apple Watch, and I returned it for the 42.
Yeah.
But I did use an Android Wear. I did use Android Wear 2.0 on one of the ASUS watches. The Apple Watch is just a better experience. I don't know what it is. I don't know where the stumble is on Android Wear, but just the Apple one feels more complete somehow.
Yeah, Android Wear is just not really gotten any traction, which is why Motorola doesn't make it anymore. I think there's a couple other manufacturers that have kind of, you know, either slowed down or basically stopped development. So, you know, I didn't even have a Motorola to you know, replace a newer version of the Motorola to replace my first gen with. I mean, there's a second gen, but even that's a couple of years old now. So, anyway, to answer your question, Paul, again, yes, I'm pretty happy with my Apple Watch. You know, I wish, you know, having... And I have to say this. I used my Amazon points to buy my Motorola 360. So it was essentially free, you know. So prior to my Apple Watch, I have never bought a watch that cost me more than $50 or $60. And it was, as a person who has had, I guess you would call cheap watches my entire life. it was kind of a shock to pay, you know, a couple hundred dollars for a watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gotten over it. And I didn't get the LTE version, by the way. I've got the Wi-Fi only version.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a... Even when I, you know, I don't really jog or run anymore. But even when I did, I always carried my phone. So,
yeah.
You know, I just put it in a...
What are you using your Pebble for? I mean, anything more than just the notifications off your phone?
Primarily notifications. If it did notifications... That's 90% of what I want from a smartwatch.
Yeah, me too.
I had a Fitbit Alta. If you're just doing notifications and you don't want any of this, quote, smarter features, the Fitbit Alta, which is about $120-ish in that price range, it's a Fitbit, but it does notifications really well. It scrolls it across the front of the smart thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a scrolling ticker tape thing if you just want for notifications. And, of course, fitness tracking. I guess that's a bonus.
I think my wife has the Surge HD. Well, actually, she bought Apple Watch after that. But she had a Surge or Surge HD, one of those. And it also did email and text message and other kind of notifications, too, I think.
Yeah.
You know, paired with her iPhone. But she switched to Apple Watch, too, now that I think about
it. Yeah. I did start with a Pebble, the original crowdfunded, you know, the version 1 Pebble.
Yeah.
And then
the black
I moved,
and white one, or grayscale.
Yeah, the black and white. And I moved all the way up to Apple Watch, so.
Yeah. Anyway, Paul, I think you'll be happy with the app. Well, wait, first, are you using iPhone or are you using Android?
Both.
Okay. I think you'll be happy with it then.
But does it do Doctor Who watch faces?
No.
Yes, it can if you make it as... You'd have to store it as a picture on your watch.
Yes.
I mean, on your phone, and then you can assign it as a wallpaper on your watch.
Yes.
Yeah, so it can.
Paul, can you see my watch?
Let me see. Yes.
Can you see? See, I have a custom photo on it.
Yeah. One of the features I really like about the Apple Watch, and it's because I'm Uncle Ricky, I have a shared photo album with my sister on the mainland. And when she puts photos into the shared photo album, I get new watch faces.
Ah. So, yes, you can. Oh, but speaking of Doctor, a bit of a, well, actually a real bit of a spin-off here, but did you guys see the Tom Baker Doctor Who 54th anniversary?
Yeah.
YouTube.
Yes.
Our first Doctor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a great little birthday message from Tom Baker. Yeah. Doctor, the fourth Doctor and my first Doctor, the first one I ever watched regularly.
And mine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, okay, so that's our call on your dilemma, Paul.
Okay.
And I agree with Ricky. If you don't need the whole rigmarole with the Apple Watch, the Fitbit stuff is pretty nice. Although my wife complained about the comfort of the band. It was a little too stiff or something. And, you know, the nice thing about the Apple Watch is it's got so many bazillions of bands. And you can buy them cheap off Amazon, you know. Don't spend all the money that Apple wants to charge you. I think Apple has a $4,000 red leather wristband, which I think is, like, I don't know, should be criminal.
Well, I agree. My Apple Watch band is a Koa watch band.
Whoa.
And if you bought it from the local company that makes all those Koa products, it's like $300.
Wow.
I bought it for $80 off of Amazon.
Wow. Well, buy local. Listen, I know. Sometimes we just can't afford it. Any rate, so next
up. I see his next question is, should he buy a Fire TV, a Roku, or an Apple TV?
I'm surprised you don't have all of them now, Paul.
Okay, I have a very old Roku, first generation.
Me too.
And I have a first generation Apple TV.
Okay, me too.
And I want to move. A spiffy new 4K Samsung TV, so I want to move to something 4K.
Oh, I would say Roku.
I would say Roku and Apple TV. But here's why: the Roku is only $70 for the 4K stick.
Yep.
So that's Christmas present money. But the Apple TV 4K, it has the at least right now. If you purchased any Apple movies through the iTunes store. It's instantly upgraded to 4K.
Oh, nice.
And if it's not currently in 4K, there's a promise to, as they get released in 4K, your library will be updated too.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So, and if you connect it with movies anywhere, you get to share your movies between all your devices.
Hmm. The reason I was actually slightly leaning toward the Fire TV.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? For an extra $5, you can get an HD antenna.
Oh,
to go with it to pull signals off the air.
Right.
And it has the remote is also an Alexa remote.
Okay, so one, have you tested an antenna at your home, Paul?
I have not.
Okay, says you live literally right on the other side of the mountain from me.
Yes, in a terrible place for antennas.
We cannot get over-the-air TV here. You might want to test that idea. But for $5, I guess, what the heck?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reason your area was the first place on Oahu to have cable television. Because they couldn't get over-the-air television.
Right.
I have all the devices. I'm just one of those gadget freaks. Amazon, Fire TV, Roku, Apple TV, Smart TV too. Fire TV is my least favorite interface.
Yeah.
And it's also, I mean, we complain about Apple TV being the most restrictive, but for some reason, Fire TV, it just keeps leading you back into the Amazon store, and then that feature I found annoying.
Plus, the UI is slow.
The UI is slow too, yeah.
Yeah, I had a Fire TV, the first gen that came out, and it broke in like 9 months, and I contacted customer support, and they wouldn't even replace it. It's very un-Amazon-like. You know, Amazon's usually really like, okay, you know, we're going to replace it, but it was like,
Yeah.
So, I just remember, I do actually have a newer generation Roku, because my wife was using the Amazon Fire TV when it broke up. I said, heck with it, I'll buy you a Roku. So I do have a like a 2-year-old Roku, yeah, in addition to the first gen, and it works great. No problems, no complaints. Also, you can use the you can plug in your, if you have a mini plug, not a Lightning, or a USB-C. If you have a mini plug headphones, you can plug it into the remote and listen to it from your remote wirelessly, mm-hmm, which is kind of nice. Yeah.
Okay.
One thing, are you using your streaming box for movies or TV shows? Which one is your primary thing?
TV shows.
Okay. I found that because I have a 4K Roku and a 4K Apple TV. I find that Apple TV makes movies look better, mm-hmm, but Roku does a better job with TV shows, and I don't know why.
I'm surprised.
I think it's because the Apple TV has Dolby Vision, so movies just look way better because everything is in HDR and 4K and beautiful. But Roku has a better upscaler or something like that, so even if you're just watching a 720p TV show, it looks better than on Apple TV, which for some reason I guess it just pumps it out as native.
Yeah. Which kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, so, you know, Apple, I think Apple has their own caching network. I don't know if they're using Akamai or something, but that's why you tend to get slightly better streaming on an Apple TV than you do on almost anything else. It's because of their custom caching.
That's true.
I did notice that the Roku, the higher end Roku, also has an Ethernet port built in, so I don't have to do wirelessly.
Yep. I've never used Ethernet ports, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
It
does. Mine does come with an Ethernet port. Oh, and it also comes with an optical audio out, the higher end Rokus, if you need that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I wonder if I have an optical in on my TV. I hardly watch TV. I mostly watch on my iPad, to be honest.
I have an optical in on my soundbar, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, kind of circling back now to the Amazon Echo. There are new tricks, skills?
Oh, I already talked about them, so we covered that.
Okay. Let's see, what else do you have on your list, Paul? Home automation?
Oh, is this time for my mini rant?
Yeah.
Okay. The more things we have that are cloud-based, the more we're at the mercy of some company that just decides to fold up shop, and all of your hardware that attached to their cloud-based servers is now totally worthless.
Several of them. That's happened several times in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And of course, I got hit early with my beloved Spot Watch when Microsoft turned off the Spot Network in January 2012.
Yeah,
a date that will live in infamy.
Well, for all five people who bought the watch.
Hey, I had two watches all by myself.
Wait, but did you have to pay for it?
I paid for the first watch, and the second one was a really interesting deal. So it was a Suntu, and you could call this number, and you could just say, hey, I've had this watch for X number of years, and I'm a paid subscriber. Can you send me another watch? And they did.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like a $150 watch, you know? How much did I pay for the Suntu? Oh, maybe that was the first watch I paid more than $50 for. I think I got it on sale for $100. List was like $180 or something. Okay, so I will retract my earlier statement. Mm. Yeah. I did buy one watch that cost more than $50 prior to the Apple Watch.
So X10 is dead? I'm just looking at the notes. X10 is dead?
Yes. Well, I mean,
I thought it died long ago.
Yeah, it died long ago. Mm. But it died right after I bought their $79 brand new hub.
Oh.
But that doesn't require their network, does it? I mean, it wasn't calling home.
The hub would not activate unless it could phone home.
Oh, jeez. I think I have some X10 stuff upstairs, but I played with it and then I put it back in a box. So.
So part of my home animation rant is that there are so many different standards.
Yep.
And I mean, there's Zigbee and there's this and there's that and there's Wink. And I have a Wink hub. I have Wemo switches. I have Zigbee stuff. I have Hue stuff. And getting it all to play together has been a nightmare.
Yeah, it's not like you see on TV or the movies, huh? Where you just sort of say something and everything works nicely together.
Well, honestly, the best thing that's happened to me has been the Echo, because using that, I can link to, between that and IFTTT.
Yeah. Yep.
I can link together most of the stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, you know, I only have one IoT device connected to my Echo, and that's the TP-Link, one of their smart plugs.
Yep.
Works great from my Amazon Echo most of the time.
I have TP-Link plugs as well.
I have TP-Link plugs and Hue lights.
Yeah. And the TP-Link plugs are pretty reasonably priced too, compared to some of the other ones.
Yeah. There is one plus, rolling back to the Apple TV. Apple TV can control Hue lights.
Mm.
So it's kind of cool telling your TV to turn off the lights.
Right.
Oh, that's one other nice thing. I mean, kind of going back again to the Google Home Mini, is as you alluded to earlier, Ricky, you can control your, if you have a Google Chromecast on your TV, it can trigger content to be played on your TV from the Home Mini. So
not just Chromecast, but any Chrome supported device.
Okay.
My Vizio has a built-in Chrome support. My soundbar has it. So I sound irritated because sometimes when I tell Google Home to go play something, it plays it on everything, and sometimes it plays it on nothing. Just pick one or the other. I'll be happy, but yeah.
Yeah, I got to go find my Chromecast now to go try it out. I think I had a problem getting to work on my TV for some reason. Bought one for my mom a while back. Worked fine on her TV, but the one for my home, I don't know. Mm. And my TVs are probably the same as hers, so not sure what the problem there is.
Okay. By the way, that's another option, a 4K Chromecast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's another option for you.
That's pretty cheap,
instead of
right?
an Apple TV, a Roku. Yeah, it's like $35. Probably on sale today, too.
Yeah, my problem with Chromecast is that it won't function as a standalone device. I've got to do it from my phone or from my laptop.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And some streaming services require that you pay extra to cast it through Chromecast.
Really?
Yeah. I forget which one it was, but I ran into it. It's like, you know, so I'm watching something. Oh, I know what it is. Drama Fever, I think. So I was watching it, you know, on my, and I was going to cast it to Chromecast to see what it looked like, and it wouldn't cast. It says, you know, you don't have the, and I pay for it, you know, but you don't have the super premium level or something. So you got to pay extra if you want to do that.
Try to screen mirror it.
Yeah. But then it'll have a lag. And there might be an audio, you know, latency, so.
I don't know, but that's how I get around on quite a few of those type of things. Yeah. I just screen mirror and it works.
But like I said, I hardly watch anything on TV anyway. I just usually watch on my iPad. You know, if you put it close enough, it's like having a 70-inch screen in front of your face.
Right? Okay.
Right? When you think about it, right? If you do the math.
Sure.
Okay, let's see. What else is on Paul's rant list? Maybe this is not a rant. What's an e-bike?
Oh, so I bought something called an Urbee on Kickstarter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's a little folding scooter.
With a motor?
With an electric motor.
Okay.
And a lithium battery.
Yeah, I was like, how did they get that over?
Yeah.
I shipped it to my in-laws on the mainland and picked it up and carried it back.
Oh, how big is it that you could carry it back?
It's pretty small.
Oh.
You can fold it up and take it with you on the bus or something. It's that small.
Mm. That's pretty neat.
But because it has only like 7-inch wheels, it does not, and they're hard rubber, it does not do well over things like curbs.
Ah. So if you're trying to
And you would not believe how many curbs there are at UH.
I should clarify for our fives listener that Paul is referring to University of Hawaii and not University of Houston. Or University of Hofstra, for that matter. Or Halifax or anything.
So I took advantage of a CNET deal of the day, or cheapskate deals, or whatever the CNET thing is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I bought an an Anchier or Anchier folding electric bicycle.
Oh, you bought another one?
Yes.
And the difference with this one is it's a regular bicycle?
It's an actual bicycle.
With air tubes for tires and stuff?
Right.
And how big are its wheels?
20 inches.
Oh, regular size. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like a mountain bike.
Yeah.
But it folds in half.
Yeah.
And it's electric. And it was $550 with free shipping. And yeah. Amazon actually shipped it to me, even though it has a big giant old lithium ion battery in it.
Did it come by boat, do you think? Did it take a long time?
It did not take a long time. So I think they must have really taken a bath on it, because I notice now it says this item can't be shipped to your location.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Paul has some kind of deal with Amazon that, you know, I'm really envious of and suspicious of. Because several times we have ordered, you know, we live, what do you think, Paul, a mile apart?
If that.
Several times we have ordered the exact same thing at nearly the exact same time. Like within an hour of each other. And Paul will get his thing like a week before me. And I want to know whose palms you're greasing, because I'm really upset by this. this favoritism on Amazon's part. Shipping stuff to you faster than me.
That's funny.
Yeah. I should note that I had my $35 wireless earbud shipped to my daughter in mainland, so she's going to carry it back for me next month too. But right. Because they won't ship it to me in Hawaii.
Yeah. Because
it's got, you know, giant, what you call it, hearing aid size batteries in them, probably. Ah, right. Sigh.
What was somebody saying that it's the fact that it has two batteries that it triggers the alert?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although I've also had and I can't figure this one out either. So last year, I tried to order the Acer R11 Chromebook, which is the first one that had a touch screen and was on the early beta for the Android apps. It just wouldn't ship to Hawaii, so I kind of gave up on that. But, you know, from Amazon. But Amazon did ship the Samsung Chromebook Plus to me, which had bigger battery.
Right.
Did one have a removable battery versus...
No, both of them were... Yeah, both of them are, like, embedded.
I don't know.
MacBook Air.
One of the times I was complaining, customer service told me it's because the camera I wanted had a removable battery, but the other one didn't. So I'm like, that makes absolutely no sense, but all right.
Well, one of the things I did learn, and this is not on our script, but and I think you guys know this because we've been talking about it on Facebook, is that one of the things I did learn is that one of the regulations or policy, I mean, not regulation, I think it's a shipper policy, is that the various shipping companies like FedEx and UPS and so forth requires that a lithium ion battery be drained down to 30% or less in order to ship via air. And if a company cannot certify that their battery will ship at that level, they won't ship it. And, of course, you know, it costs money to certify that sort of thing. And Hawaii and Alaska, they won't ship it to Alaska either because it'll go by air. You could do it by land. You could drive through Canada, but I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of import-export fee if you go through Canada. But
I like the bikes.
But
he's showing us his bikes. I like the bikes.
But in any case, actually, I don't have my – hang on. I got a – oh, nice. Yeah. In any case, so maybe, and I did a check. So Hawaii and Alaska's population combined is 0.65% of the total of the U.S. population. So in other words, we're combined, our two states account for less than 1% of the U.S. population. And it just isn't worth the effort and money, the cost to certify batteries to ship to us. So we're slowly going to become a battery-less state. You know, we won't be able to get anything.
I mean, the last time I bought an Anchor, one of the 20,000 milliamp Anchor batteries, I actually bought it from the Japan office because it was easier to ship it from Japan than to ship it from the California side.
Oh, my goodness.
So, go figure. Whatever.
Yeah. So, the local folks who specialize in batteries may be seeing an uptick in their business as we slowly become unable to buy batteries.
Yeah, battery bill is going to clean up.
Yep. If you want to advertise with us, let us know. okay, next up on Paul's list, what is a rocket book?
Okay, so you'll like this.
Okay.
I'm going to hold it up to the camera, which will help your listeners not at all.
Yeah.
But it is a notebook that uses friction pens. Ooh. And the friction is an erasable pen from Japan, of course.
Okay.
And the notebook is also erasable.
Okay, I want to stop Paul for a minute. We're talking about a paper notebook, folks. He's not holding up a computer. Yeah. Okay, so paper notebook. Okay.
Yeah. The pages are not exactly paper. They're almost plasticky feeling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like vellum or something?
You write on it with the friction pen.
Yeah.
And you can erase it with a little bit of water.
Okay. Water. Oh, gosh. Okay.
But the very cool thing is that each of the pages has a little QR code. And you hit the QR code, and you can then send that page to Dropbox or Google Drive or Evernote.
Wait, how does it send a page? Because it's a paper and ink. So do you scan it with your phone or something?
You scan it with your phone.
Yeah.
There's an app on your phone, and it scans the page and then sends that page as an electronic document to Evernote, Dropbox, Google Drive, and whatever you have.
Is it a true scan or is it just a picture of the page?
It's a picture of the page.
Okay.
But it comes out almost like a scan because the page itself has like little dots on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it uses those to align things, but the dots don't show when you.
You know, my suspicion is so I have a Moleskine that has a similar thing where you can scan the page and suck it into Evernote. And then if you have an Evernote Evernote has a couple different premium accounts, so I don't know which level you need. But if you have an Evernote, some kind of Evernote premium account, it'll OCR your page, your image. And so you can actually search for text on your imaged pages, which is kind of, even scribbled handwriting, which is kind of neat.
It just reminds me of the old, back in the 90s, remember the Cross had a product where you could write with a cross pen on. I bought one of those. I really liked them. But the OCR never really worked well.
Yeah, I think I bought one too.
Yeah.
It was a nice idea.
A nice idea. We just weren't there yet. And I kind of like the idea of it just being a picture instead of an OCR'd mess.
Right. Right. Okay.
Yeah, this works pretty well. And the friction pens come in multiple colors. And
okay. Yeah. And your last item, Paul, Tiled, is that one of those Bluetooth Find My Stuff thing?
Yeah, it is, but with a little twist to it, because the latest version of the Tile is it's solved a lot of problems because it's louder. The earlier ones were not very loud. But what happens is because it creates kind of a mesh network with anybody who's running the Tile app, I will get on a weekly basis a little message saying, "Oh, you've helped someone find their thing."
Oh.
Because if my phone gets near any Tile, it reads it and then sends it back to the owner saying, "Oh, I've spotted your Tile."
Right, right. It's over here or near
here. It's over here in Waikiki or it's at the airport.
Yeah, too bad you're already back in New York City. Yeah, I've heard that. I think I've heard that on like on Windows Weekly or something being advertised.
Mm-hmm. But it works great for me because I leave stuff a lot.
Yeah.
And the other day I got out of my car, I didn't have my backpack. And I went, "Oh, where did I leave my backpack?" And I just pulled out my phone and it goes, "Oh, your backpack was last seen in Waikiki." So I knew exactly where I left it.
Oh, wow. That was handy. So, is that? I guess you said the Tile makes a sound. So has it got a little battery? And how long does the battery last?
They claim the battery lasts about a year. So far, I've found that they last about a year and a half.
Okay.
Mm.
So for 6 months, it'll bug me and say, "Your battery's almost dead. Your battery's almost dead."
Is it like a hearing aid size battery or something proprietary?
I don't know because it's sealed.
Oh. Oh, so you got to keep buying them.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's a good model.
I mean, they're cheap. They're $20.
Yeah. It's each?
Yeah.
And they last a year?
A year and a half.
Well, that's kind of expensive to me. What if you wanted like a bunch? But anyway. Yeah. No, I've been thinking, you know, and not so much for Ricky, but for you and me, Paul, as we get older, I was thinking, I need to start tagging things, you know, so people can find them after I'm gone.
Okay.
Wow.
But if the battery only lasts a year and a half, it's useless. But anyway, okay. Well, it's not useless, but it doesn't fit that use case.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, but I mean, I'm not excluding myself because I've had to put I use Tracker, the other company one, right?
Okay.
And I stuck a tracker on my Apple AirPod case because I kept losing it. So it's very useful.
Yeah, the AirPods, I think, just should have a tracker built in. But actually, I think they do. The case doesn't, though, right? Yeah.
The case doesn't. And if the case is closed and you run to Find My... Because it's all in the Find My Phone app, right?
Right.
The headphones won't make a sound if they're inside the case.
Yeah.
And that's half the time you lose the thing with it in the case. So it was complete. Yeah, it was irritating.
By the way, you know, I got to mention, I am, you know, at $170, I am shocked at how many AirPods I see in the wild. You know, and I mean, like, I see teenagers walking down with AirPods in their ears. And wow, I couldn't have afforded something that was $170 when I was a teenager.
How big is it? Is it the real one? Because
I don't know. I wasn't close enough.
I've noticed on the bus, there's a lot of fake ones. Oh. So they look almost the same, but they're just a little bit bigger.
Well, I'm shocked whenever I see these in the wild. It's sort of like John Westphal and I were talking about how often we see Apple Watches in the wild, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For many years, seeing even people with Bluetooth headsets was kind of a sign of a geek. And then those disappeared and everybody went through, you know, stereo earbuds. And then, you know, smart watches were like a... Or even smartphones were sort of just geeky things, but now everybody has them. And I'm just shocked how quickly the Apple Watch has become a, you know, general consumer kind of purchase, especially at its price, which I, as I said, having mostly spent $50 on watches and not very often.
Yeah.
I'm surprised people spend that much money on a watch.
Not that this is a definitive study, but out of 72 students this semester, 68 yep. of them have iPhones.
Wow. That's a wow. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I expected these days that, you know, they have smartphones, but 68 out of 70 whatever have iPhones. That's unusual. Especially since Android outsells iPhones like 3 to 1, I think, or 4 to 1.
Right. I was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And I should note
also
again,
think it's because there's just more iPhones. There's more generations of iPhones out there versus Android ones. Yeah, they're the number one across the world, but they're just... How many of us still have a Pixel? And it's only been 2 years since the Pixel came, the original Pixel.
Yeah.
And we're already all in the Pixel 2, so...
Yeah. Well, actually, I went from a Nexus 6 to the Pixel 2.
Oh.
So I skipped... two generations. I 6P and the original Pixel were, you know, didn't buy either of those.
Yeah.
But wow, that's really shocking. I'm gonna ask my daughter what it looks like at her school. I'm kind of curious now.
And I have a fairly international population too. So
yeah, you teach travel industry management school.
Correct.
Right. Okay, that makes sense then. That international makeup. Yeah. Well, plus it's Hawaii. Okay, onto Ricky's list of stuff. I don't know if you want to go through all of them, but they all look kind of interesting.
Yeah. Talk about what you want.
Well, so did you actually buy the Dell mixed reality headset and controllers?
Yes, I did.
And how much was it?
I pre-ordered it. I still have educational discounts, so it was about $350
mm-hmm.
for everything. But I think it retails for $400. A little over 400.
Okay. So what is it based on? Is it based on like Oculus kind of tech or is it its own thing? It's none of the above.
Well, typical Microsoft. Right now it's its own thing.
Of course.
But by Christmas they have you'll be able to use your Steam VR purchases with it.
Oh, okay.
So it's not completely a walled garden that you can't do anything else with, but it's definitely not as many apps as the Oculus, yeah.
Yeah, or the Holo. Wait, what did they call it now? They have a new name for Microsoft HoloLens. It's something else now. I forget.
Well, it's still mixed reality. HoloLens is its own thing.
Oh, it's completely separate from this mixed reality.
Yeah, this mixed reality is not mixed. It might be mixed in the future, but right now
it's virtual. It's
just VR glasses.
Or just virtual. Okay.
Yeah.
So you can't see anything. On the other hand, you have something called AR headset toy for Lenovo Jedi Challenge.
I played with that.
This one, you do see the world around you.
Yeah, you do. It's kind of cool. You actually get to see, stormtroopers in front of you.
Yeah.
It uses your phone. It's kind of like a fancy Google Cardboard. You stick your phone in the viewer. You can see through the viewer, through your phone, and, you know, like, a stormtrooper will be 6 feet away from you, and you have a Bluetooth lightsaber, and you have to deflect the incoming shots and kill the stormtrooper, kill the battle bots, whatever's coming at you.
So it's like being at a cosplay convention constantly.
It's right now that thing costs $200. Ooh. I'm not sure it's worth $200
for a toy,
but it's for a toy that only has one game attached to it.
Yeah,
but $50 cheaper, it might be something fun. I mean, everybody bought the Sphero BB-8, right?
Yeah,
and that was $150. So I think that's I don't know. I think it'll sell out this Christmas, especially with Star Wars right around the corner.
Good point. Next up, something we kind of circle back, is the Apple TV 4K.
Yeah.
So you got one? You have a 4K?
I got one.
I don't have a 4K TV, so it wouldn't do me any good. But
I would still pick it up if you're looking for an Apple TV because of that whole thing where they'll upgrade your library for free.
Yeah.
And you don't know how long that lasts.
Right.
Because I did the calculation. I've bought quite a few Apple TV movies and movies on the various different services, and you know, if I were to upgrade each movie to 4K, that would be at least $20 each.
Yeah.
Versus I paid $160 for the player and all my stuff is going to be upgraded, so you know.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I hardly ever buy anything from Apple video wise. I mean, I bought a few things, but it's mostly a timing thing. So Apple didn't have a family plan, I think, when my daughter started college. And so, you know, so we had separate accounts, and it's just a hassle to reintegrate them. And, you know, at some point I want her to have her own Apple account anyway. So, you know, get off my kid, you know, get off my lawn, pay for your own. but anyway, in the meantime, I did pay for the Google Play family plan, which includes music, YouTube, and movie and TV show purchases, and that's worked out great. So you know, anything I buy, you know, if it's shareable, she sees it. So, you know, like, she doesn't have a TV, so you know, she watches everything on her Mac or her iPad.
Yeah. Well, I've just purchased a lot of different media across all the different platforms over the years, and then, you know, a couple of months ago, Disney came out with that Movie Anywhere.
Oh yeah.
Platform where they connected with all the studios.
Yeah.
But the great thing with that is that it now linked all my store, you know, all the purchases I made on Google Store. Oh. As long as it was a supported studio,
yeah.
I've got it synced it across my Apple side, my Google side, my Amazon side. So
wow,
interesting.
So I got that synced over. You know, all my movies started to coalesce into one place.
Right.
And then I upgraded it with the Apple TV, so I had a double upgrade in like 1 year.
Right. Okay, the next one I have, nobody can see me except you two guys, but I'm folding my arms because Amazon Cloud Cam security camera. I have some concerns about that, but go ahead.
Well, there's been a lot of weird stuff happening in my building.
Yeah.
And since I rent, we can't, we live in a building. If somebody wanted to break in, they just break in another apartment and jump lanais, right?
Right.
So there's not so much we can do with security level wise, but $100 security camera that we stick on a wall seems like the least we can do for our security, since we can't drill, we can't do anything, we can't really
Right.
We're renters. We can't modify, right?
Right.
Too much.
Well, you can't modify and tell people, but yeah, so you've never modified. I understand that. So how much does it cost per month? Is there a monthly fee for storing videos?
There's a $9 upgraded plan, but the free plan is like a week.
It keeps it a week.
Yeah, keeps it a week.
That's pretty reasonable.
You can't download clips, but yeah, a week.
Yeah. Yeah. That's reasonable.
And of course, we know it's going to tie in with the Amazon Prime delivery service where they can just unlock your door.
Yeah. It ties in with the A word device.
Right, right.
Where I can tell it, show the camera on the TV.
Right. So it's a non-invasive way to do something like the Ring doorbell kind of thing.
Except
there's no doorbell. Yeah. It's just a video.
Yeah. Oh, it has it has IR night vision, IR flood cam, and it has two-way intercom.
Oh, that's pretty useful.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
Middle of the day, I can talk to the cat, and cat can reply to me.
Right, right. Okay, the next one I'm really interested in, and is this a brand, iHealth?
Oh, you skipped the BioStrap and you went straight to iHealth?
Oh, I didn't see the BioStrap. Okay, let's go to the BioStrap.
Okay, so they're calling it a next generation fitness wearable, and I've only worn it for two nights.
Okay.
But I have to sleep with a CPAP, and when I first got diagnosed with sleep apnea, I had to go to a sleep lab, get the sensor stuck on me and all that stuff. To get the same amount of information that this strap has given me last night.
Wow.
It gives you blood pressure. Oh, no. Blood pressure is coming soon. It gives you blood oxygen saturation, gives you heart beats per minute.
Right.
I forget what you call that, right?
Right. Heart rate.
Respiration weights. Yeah, respiration, how you're breathing.
Wow.
And they're calling it a fitness device because I don't think you could sell someone on it'll monitor your sleep, but it's a really good sleep monitor.
So it's called a strap. So how does it do your oxygen level and stuff?
It has a red IR sensor.
Oh, okay.
Because the Apple Watch is a green one.
Right.
But this one is a red one, so it supposedly can do it better because it penetrates your skin more.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Paul, going back to the watch discussion, the Apple Watch does a pretty decent job with heart rate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't do blood pressure, obviously, but it does a good job with heart rate. I think, anyway.
So, does this thing, Ricky, have you've got to put on your finger or something all night long?
It's a Fitbit. It's
on your wrist?
Fitbit form factor. Yeah, it's on the wrist. It's got to be on your left wrist, though.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can be pretty hairy.
How does it do blood oxygen?
it's the infrared sensor. Something about the infrared sensor is the difference between the Apple Watch with its green sensor, which can't pick up the blood oxygen, versus the red one.
Okay.
Right.
It's $200. To me, it's a little bit on the higher price range, but it's pretty decent.
Yeah, that reminds me, speaking of colors, I don't think... I haven't seen either of you in person in a while, but I don't think either of us have tattoo ink sleeves on our wrists. But my understanding is the Apple Watch does have problems if you have ink, tattoos on your wrist area. So
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it won't unlock if you've got tattoos on your... Right. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, Paul, don't you move that tattoo up. Your plans, a little bit above where you wear your watch and you're good.
Yeah.
But you're good. Okay. So now the iHealth, is that a brand that was...
Or is iHealth is a brand.
Okay.
And it plugs into there's a blood pressure machines. Basically, there were I forgot. What was the first smart scale that you stood on?
Okay.
Yeah, they've basically replaced that company since Nokia bought them and kind of just like let them die.
Oh.
So iHealth is the next replacement company, and I had to go to the doctor last month, and they told me I should be monitoring this, this, and this. That's why I'm on this health health monitoring kick right now, where I'm buying everything that can monitor health. But I mean, it's pretty cool. Health Kit. Have you tried Apple Health Kit?
I don't know if I have. I mean, I know I've turned on the health app for my watch. You know, so it does my step count and things like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I could send you some screenshots, but I'm not sure why my stuff is not getting sent through Skype right now.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, all these devices, they all plug into the Apple Health Kit. Mm-hmm. And I just show that to the doctor that these are my blood pressure for the last week. This is my weight for the last week. I know it's only going up, but still. Here's my O2 measurements for the last week. So, I don't know. I think it's cool. It's slightly cheaper than that original. I forgot what the company is. It's just completely out of my head. It's a little bit.
Withing or whatever it was called.
Withings, yeah. It's about 10, 20 bucks cheaper than them, but it's pretty interesting seeing my, you know, a graph of my blood pressure over the week.
That is pretty neat.
I've learned that my blood pressure is a lot lower at night than it is during the day.
Well, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, I'm not working at night.
Yeah. One of the odd things I found is that my heart rate actually drops when I'm driving, and I fully expected it to go up. You know, because stress and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, just generally when you're driving, you have to pay more attention. But I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I found that kind of odd.
I listen to the Mobile Views podcast when I'm driving. It's very relaxing.
I hope it doesn't put you to sleep. I listen to podcasts a lot, too. I should note, when I'm driving, I generally either listen to a podcast or an Audible book. Rarely do I listen to music or, you know, terrestrial radio.
I don't listen to... I got to be honest. I don't listen to podcasts when I'm out and about. I only listen to Audible books.
Oh, okay. And again, you know, as John and I often say, we have no sponsors. But what's the Audible book that you would recommend that you've read or heard recently?
This month, I am listening to Artemis, the second book from...
The Martian Guy.
Yeah, The Martian Guy. It helps that the book is read by Rosario Dawson. It's very, very calming voice.
So is it good? I was just reading about it, but I haven't pulled the trigger to buy a copy. Are you enjoying it? Or did you finish it?
I'm on the last hour of the audiobook.
Okay.
The science is, you know, he did a good job with the science.
As always.
Yeah. I like the story. I like the story because all the heroes are brown.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's different. But, I mean, it's not a Martian Redux, but you've definitely read this story before. Yeah. Okay. Without giving any spoilers away, it's sort of Total Recall-ish original.
It's on the moon, right?
It's on the moon.
Yeah.
It's a mining colony on the moon with political issues.
Okay.
That's the storyline, right?
Okay.
So... We've been there before. We've been in that environment.
Okay.
His take on it is different.
I might put that on my list. I just finished. Actually, it says I have 4 minutes left. I'm almost finished with Dan Brown's new novel, Origin.
Oh.
And I would say it's kind of a typical Dan Brown novel. In that it starts off with a bang. It's really nicely paced. It's a good page turner, even though it's audio for me. And the ending is, you can completely see it coming a mile away. I predicted the ending like about a third of the way into the book. But I would still recommend it. It's a fun read. And
is it a good end, or is it a good end? Because I felt that way with Stephen King, but his ends were bad. They weren't good ends. They were bad ends.
It's an okay end. I wouldn't say it's... none of Dan Brown's endings are satisfying to me. But it's...
They're not as bad as The Dark Tower.
Oh, I didn't read that one.
Movie or book?
The book.
Okay. Well, to put it in context...
Don't watch the movie.
Yeah.
It made it even worse.
This is not
the movie was horrible.
This is not a book, but I gauge bad endings against Lost, which I think has the worst TV ending in the history of TV endings. I can't think of anything that had a worse ending. But
you can only say that because Ryan is not here.
No, I said it to Ryan. I said it to Ryan.
And okay, Saint Elsewhere had an equally bad ending.
I actually kind of liked that. It was dumb, but I liked it.
That was the one that ended with it was all a dream.
Yeah.
Okay.
The autistic grandson's dream. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Of course, the best ending was Newhart, his second series, where it was a dream.
Yeah, it was a dream. Well, I mean, if we want to go down the road of worst endings, nothing beats Enterprise, where the entire show was a holodeck adventure.
Yeah. That was terrible.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we won't go down that road because then you'll get me started in a new Star Trek. But anyway, Paul, any audiobooks that you read or podcasts you recommend? Or
The two audiobooks I'm listening to now are the nonfiction one is called Barking Up the Wrong Tree, The Surprising Science Behind Why Everything You Know About Success is Mostly Wrong.
Okay.
And the fiction one is called A Gentleman in Moscow.
Oh. Spy novel?
No, it's the story of Count Alexander Rostov back in about 1922. And he's an unrepentant aristocrat being tried by a Bolshevik tribunal.
Ah, okay. Right around the Russian Revolution, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll mention a nonfiction. I'm kind of in the middle of. It says I have 16 hours remaining. It's a long book. Disney War. If you have any interest in Disney at all and how its business has been running for decades and decades, Disney War is a really interesting one. Mostly focuses on the Michael Eisner era, and it's quite interesting as a fan of many things Disney.
So it's post-Walt.
Yeah, post-Walt.
Okay.
Yep. Alrighty. Okay. So let's see.
We can skip the AirPods. We can skip my.
Yeah, you're not a fan of AirPods.
No.
Okay, well, at any rate, we have had a nice long... Whoa, we've gone over an hour. I hope I can compress it down.
Nice.
So, the files get a little big sometimes. But at any rate, I want to thank Ricky and Paul for joining me for this podcast, and we will see John Westfall back someday in the future when he gets back from his super secret assignment, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate
Always
you
a pleasure.
Dropping by.
Belated happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And happy belated Black Friday for those of you in the U.S. Although I guess it's now international.
Yeah, it is.
And belated happy Doctor Who Day.
That's right. That was yesterday, too. Yeah. Okay. I'm signing off.